Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today. In this edition of A&M Conversation With, Steve Goldstein, a senior advisor at A&M and author of Why Are There Snowblowers in Miami, sits down with Ryan Schmidt, managing director of the Private Equity Services Group, in an ongoing series to discuss his five principles of engagement. Today, they will be talking about transparency. The more people know, the better they can do their jobs.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for joining us from Louisville for this podcast.
No problem, Steve. Good to be here.
So today's discussion is about transparency. And when I went to high school, the door over my high school had a sign that said, "Knowledge is power." I didn't know what it meant at the time, but I certainly do now. And it's really informed my belief that the more people know, the better they can do their jobs. Ryan, as you think about all the experiences you've had, both as an operator and as a consultant, how would you assess the level of transparency of information in most of these companies?
To be honest with you, I would characterize it generally as poor. But interestingly enough, I work a lot in merger integration and carve-out transactions. You know, my sense is it's not because anyone has any sort of a nefarious sort of mindset or wants to control the information as much as it's a case where they just don't want to communicate the wrong information. You know, one of the things we've seen with clients is a host of them, if they don't know, they prefer not to say anything, as opposed to some other clients, even if they don't know, and it's really probably more of a best practice or a better way of communicating, is to say, "It's a great question. We don't know the answer, but we'll get back to you at this point in time and give you more information when we have it."
Why do you think they hold back?
I think it's culture. I think it's just how the company has developed over time, whether it was a organic growth, whether it was inorganic, where you started to bring together various organizations and you had to mend together and integrate these cultures. There's a mindset that gets established, and it has a tendency to hold you down, specifically as it relates to communicating things when you're uncertain about the future.
But, you know, as you see this across a number of companies, and I've certainly seen this phenomenon, it's hard to explain it by any one culture because all the cultures that I've seen are different, as I am sure so have you. So it sounds to me, or I believe it's more perhaps related to the individual leader's predisposition to inform and share information.
Yeah, it's a fair statement, Steve. You know, one of the things that we do on these sorts of projects to promote the idea of communication, regardless of whatever the background of the company is to help put structure in place. And nothing better than an example of a communication plan. Right? It sounds like something that's so simple, but what it does is in a one or two page document, it helps describe who are the audiences that we need to communicate with. Is it the sales folks? Is it the customers? Is it the vendors? Is it the IT group? Is it a particular region? What are the messages that we need to get out to them? What is the delivery vehicle, i.e. how they're going to receive the information, and who's going to put it together and have it done by when? And so it's a great way, regardless of your background or whether you're not generally comfortable of communicating things you don't know or you are comfortable, if you put a plan in place and put some structure around it, it sure helps you moving forward in terms of getting the message out. You know, I would tell you also that one of the other ways to kind of promote this idea of transparency and the sharing of information is don't look at it just as the executive team's responsibility for getting the messages out. With best intent, the group's going to say, here's the things that the broader employee organization wants to hear about. But when you send that first communication out, we found nothing better than if you put something at the end of the communication that says, "We want to hear from you. What are the things that are important to you?" And you either set up an 800 number, you set up a generic email address, whatever the case may be, but close the loop. Make it 360 degrees where if you think you're communicating the right things, great, but look for those folks who are out there to come back to you and say, "Here's some things we'd like to hear about." It's a great way to kind of connect the expectations of the audience and what the what you think should be communicated.
That's terrific. When they do that and they get the feedback from, you know, the lower parts of the organization, are they surprised by the quality and quantity of the feedback they receive?
Yeah, Absolutely. And it's interesting because you'll start to see trends of the information that comes back. Now, inevitably, right. you'll see themes around what does it mean to me? What does it mean from my title and my responsibilities? How does this go forward? But clearly, you'll pick up these messages and these things that you may not have thought about that the broader audience wants to hear. You know, one of the things, just to go back a little bit to the delivery method of that, is when people, they get nervous, right? They'll get antsy if
right.
communications aren't common and consistent and frequent, or periodic, I should say. A great example that we used out of the client situation is, and it was had a terrific title, it was called Letters from the CEO's Desk. And even though we didn't have all the answers right from the beginning, what we did is we set up a schedule, and in the initial communication, we even stated it, we said every 2 weeks, the CEO is going to send a letter out to the organization explaining things that are happening, things that we see coming forward, and reiterating this idea of using the 360-degree feedback loop so we can hear more from you. And what a great program, a great solution to kind of build, I don't necessarily want to call it trust, but this idea of the expectation and looking forward to that next communication, and everybody knows it was on a schedule.
Right. That's really excellent. That's really great. So I want to sort of flip this over a bit. You know, the knowledge is power idea. I think what I've seen in a lot of organizations, and you touched on this saying, you know, I don't think leaders have nefarious intentions, but I've seen people hoard information, and they take this knowledge is power a little too literally, and they don't want everyone to know everything because, in a strange sense, it makes them more powerful. So how do you, A, have you seen that, and B, what do you do when you see that in terms of getting leaders to, you know, open up more?
Yeah, again, great topic, Steve. You know, one of the things that we've seen to be successful, if you think about transparency, the idea and communications is, A, making sure it's common and consistent so everybody knows about it. And again, there's not the hoarding of information. And two
right.
is making sure that the folks, as you think about the hierarchy of an organization, that the people who are the supervisors feel educated and have content that they can also help support the organization and respond to more than just what was in the communication that was delivered. And so I remember back on a project, it was a process we went through. You know, we talk about that communication plan in the beginning, is the original integration team and the executive team created this key content around the communication, who gets it and when. But to avoid the idea of certain folks holding on for information, we essentially kind of forced a trickle down of the communications. And so what I mean by that is the executive team, we created the content, we reviewed it, we made sure it was the key messages we wanted to get out, incorporating any of the feedback we had heard from the employee base. We then took it to the regional leads. We gave them personalized time to say, here is the message, here is the key things that we need to get out there. In addition to that, behind that, we put some FAQs, some frequently asked questions. These were not items that were necessarily going to be distributed to the employees, but we wanted everyone at the regional level to feel empowered, they had a bit more information that they could respond to the employee base. From the regional level, we took that down to the line managers who oversaw the individuals on a daily basis. Same concept though. We did this trickle-down theory. It ensured that the information was consistent. Everybody had the information at the executive team level, and the managers who were overseeing the employees had just a bit more from an FAQ perspective to feel empowered and that they could support the organization through this change. So, again, it helped avoid the hoarding of information. It made it consistent and common, and people felt good the fact that not, you know, the entire organization wasn't hearing everything at the exact same time. There was this hierarchical feed down, and it happened in a quick manner, so it wasn't like people held it for weeks at a time.
Right. That's a great process. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your insights on this. I'm sure everybody will appreciate the breadth and depth of your experience. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Steve.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.